Cox, grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above. I have to tell you, today is a sad day. Our little flappy bird that we've been taking care of for the last couple of days passed into the other realm early this morning or late last night. We're not sure which. We didn't go to bed until after 11 and she was fine. Woke up this morning and she had moved on to the spirit world. And well, that is the typical way of the world, right? Life and death, completions, endings that set us up and provide us with the opportunity for the new. And it's interesting astrologically, because today that is basically what we're looking at, is this energy of completions. It's written all over the stars today through the planet Venus, through the Pleiadian Earth energy, and maybe even a bit through the moon, although the moon is not necessarily taking us into any new territory with any new connections today. So interesting day, I think, for all of us as we look around ourselves and see what is still standing after several weeks, a couple of months now even, of destruction and change. And wow, so where are we today, right? That is the question. And I'm just going to stop really quickly here and say good morning, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, Jennifer Peachy, Amy, J-Lo, Marissa, good morning. Yes, there has to be a message there somewhere, Marissa. And then I realized that hummingbird represents joy. And we're always seemingly looking outside of ourselves for joy, right? And in the things that we pursue, in our work, in the things we buy, a very Taurus energy sort of about our resources and the things that we purchase being a representation of who we are. And so I find it interesting that this little bird came into our life and created this little joyful opening for us, you know, without having done anything except be a presence in our world. And it's interesting, yesterday I was watching a YouTube while I'm in the process of writing a book. I haven't really shared that with many people, but I am in the process of writing a book, and I'm sitting out on the deck yesterday writing and listening to a video that YouTube from Oprah Winfrey interviewing Gary Zukav, who was the Seed of the Soul. It was a book written, gosh, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, some long time ago. I read this book by him, and she actually credits Gary Zukav with actually changing her life, as in it changed the direction that her show would go, and her focused on metaphysics or the new age or on spirituality. And they were talking to a couple who had lost one of their twins, and he was only 4 days old. And, you know, to Gary's point, it was, you know, you think of the love that you shared with this being for the 4 days and focus on that. So that is how we are choosing to take a look at this, that, you know, for the 2 days that we had this little bird in our presence, we learned some valuable lessons about taking care, about joy, and about just being at peace. So there we have that. Allison, good morning. J-Lo says, hello, Astro family. And Debbie Hedden, good morning to you. And Terry says, I am complete indeed. Okay, so this morning, there isn't much going on as far as the moon is concerned in terms of, you know, typical day-to-day astrological transits. There really aren't anything, there aren't any new ones going on, nothing for us to really talk about. In fact, I have a complete empty column over here where I usually write all the things going on with the moon, because there isn't anything going on except she is in the sign of Aquarius, which continues our movement through what's innovative and what is looking at time down to the future, looking at long-term goals, perhaps finding ways to reconnect with one another or to connect with one another. And another interesting sort of thought that came to me this morning as I was trying to prepare for the show, which, by the way, I was not having much luck with, but I do have some things I want to share, that there's a co-ruler to the sign of Aquarius. We talked a lot yesterday about Saturn as the ruler of both Capricorn and Aquarius, one focused back into the past with the other one focused down into the future. But Uranus is also a co-ruler of the sign of Aquarius along with Saturn. So we have a sort of rebel in the camp, if you will, because Uranus is, as we, I like to think of him as the great cosmic catalyst to awakening and aligning us then with that cosmic plan. So when we think of Uranus and surprises and the upsets and things like that, it's typically with a reason, right? There's a purpose here because somewhere we strayed away from the cosmic plan and Uranus energy is pulling us back into alignment with that plan. And sometimes that can be through those things that, you know, feeling like the house just fell on the on your head. Other times it's that revelation or that aha that solves a problem that you've been grappling with for a while. But irregardless, Uranus sets us up to become free, free of some kind of burden, free of old patterns, free of, it's a liberating force, right? So what can we liberate ourselves from? And it's interesting because Uranus is in the sign of Taurus. And I was remembering that this morning as I was thinking that, you know, Uranus is in Taurus when it first moved into the sign back in, let's see, that was, gosh, March, I think, of 2019, where we got that little foreshadowing, that little bit of time. And then she or he retrograded backwards into Pisces for a bit. And then, not Pisces, I'm sorry, back into Aries for a bit. And then moved forward again into Taurus, where he will be now until November 28th of 2026. So a long time still, yet feels like it has been already a long time. But anyway, so what is the purpose of Uranus in Taurus? And what is, I guess you can't really even look to what does that mean in a sign until you really understand the purpose of Uranus as a planet or as an energy. So here is the great cosmic upsetter, the rebel without a cause sometimes, but typically that's in our thinking, but there's certainly a cause, there's a purpose here to focus on what's new and what's possible. And in doing so, we are also being forced to sort of trust that all is well and that everything is going to turn out exactly as it's meant to turn out, you know, irregardless of how much we think about it, how much we worry about it, how much we, you know, stress and strain over the changes that are going on, no matter how many economic stimulus packages there are, no matter how many deaths there are, no matter how things are playing out in the outer world, it is all serving this cosmic plan that we're not always privy to. What does it mean, right? We're not always privy to. Often astrology plays out in retrospect. It is like the great cosmic hindsight is 2020, because from, you know, as we were going through it, we can sort of intellectualize what's happening and understand with some sort of idea of what is happening. But the bigger question from us is always, why? Why is this happening? And that isn't always clear until after, right? So 5 years from now, when we look back at this time, or 6 years from now, as Uranus begins to transit out of Taurus and into Gemini, maybe we'll get a glimpse, right? We'll look back and we'll go, oh, that's what this was all about. And we can get another kind of glimpse here by looking back at the last time that the planet Uranus was in the sign of Taurus, right? And we've talked about this many times before, but if we look at the last cycle of Uranus and Taurus, which was from the early 1930s until 1942, and this is taking in the retrograde of each year, so it's an elongated cycle, we saw that it was the time of the Great Depression. And I know that we're hearing about the impact of the coronavirus on our economy as a depression. And a lot of energy and money is going into trying to stave off that next depression. It was the time of the Dust Bowl. It was the time of World War II, rising fascism and crazy dictators in the world. And we saw here in America, the first and the second New Deals, which put America back to work and gave us the opportunity to move ahead. It was the founding of key financial support systems. For example, Social Security. And the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, that backed our dollars that we put into banks so that we didn't suffer from another depression or a run on the banks, such as what happened in 1929. The FCIC, which was the Federal Crop Insurance Company, that was protecting farmers when their crops might be damaged by insects or dust bowl or other weather phenomena. The FHA, the Federal Housing Authority, the Securities and Exchange Commission, all of these major financial systems came into play during that period of time. And if I'm not mistaken, also the central bank, which the name of the bank just went right out of my head. But anyway, I believe that was also set up right around that time, maybe just before that time. The central bank, what in the heck? Somebody tell me, what is it called? The chairman of the board, the blah, blah, blah. Good morning, Camilla. Good morning, Ursula, Amanda J. Good morning. My Uranus is opposite 0 degrees in Scorpio. So great. Everybody's kind of recognizing, you know, that there is a connection in your own personal chart to where this is happening as well. So somebody tell me who, what it is the central bank is here in the US, because I don't know, it just went over my head. Anyway, so what is all of that about? Well, we now have this open invitation to create, to redefine, and revalue who it is we perceive ourselves to be in this world and how we perceive each other in the world. How do we perceive how we take care of one another? How do we perceive resources in this world? And what are the next steps that we want to take in maybe a renewed vision for our monetary systems and these big systems that we have? So what we've been getting or receiving here is this sort of big dose of cosmic truth telling as these things, these truths are bubbling up to the surface. We see that sort of thrown at us when people say things like fake news or false media, or they're blaming the media for everything and not for the fact that they have created the space on this planet for these untruths to be told. And so we're having to look within to find the real truth, right? The capital T truth. This is so important right now because we've also got those nodes that have shifted where the South Node puts us in a position of really looking at the error of our ways, the errors of the past, our self-righteousness. As a country, the United States has been in a position of superpower for so long. And in that, our self-righteous policing of other countries and what we think they should do and their human rights violations, while what are we doing in our own country right now? Would we really stand the magnifier of are we living our own truth? Are we walking our own talk in this country? And look at how we treat one another. Look at how we treat people that we perceive as others, i.e. immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, shouldn't matter. It comes down to the bare fact that we are all human, right? We are all human. And so these revelations, while they may be painful, they can be upsetting, they can cause us to just do a whiplash and have that sort of whiplash feeling, there's a real purpose here to be able to bring about these big changes that are necessary in order to be able to have a sustainable future, right? To create that sustainable path. And Uranus in Taurus is helping us to redefine how precious life is on this planet, how delicate the balance is between our human interaction with the environment and our effects on the environment, and how the Earth reacts to that type of injection of pollutants and it's all the things that we do to create sort of hell on Earth. And all of those truths are being brought up to us right now. How do we treat each other? You know, human beings often being reduced to commodities. As far as a corporation is concerned, its people are a resource to be contended with, not to be cherished and loved and adored and thanked and be full of gratitude for. Most often, they're a commodity. And that commodity is about how little can we pay them, how little can we give them without creating a loss of money for us, but also creating, making them feel like they have a job or they have something good to do, making them feel like they're valued. So, and respected. So I ask the question, do you really feel valued and respected every day when you go out to your job? Or maybe the whole reason the coronavirus has disrupted that is for us to be in a position to revalue both ourselves as individuals, because by the way, this is a personal job. This is an inside job. It starts here. It can't be that we only blame corporations or governments or systems for failing, because those systems are made up of individuals who have kind of diverged from the cosmic truths. So we have this very basic shift that we can entertain right now, moving ourselves back to these cosmic truths as we reevaluate every system we have: the government, education, the economy, healthcare, financial, banks, mortgages, you name it, right? All of these big systems that we have created. Remember, this is the week of the gate 23, where the earth is sitting at simplicity. And we have created this giant complex system that a tiny little teeny weeny virus has upset, or at least our reaction to this teeny tiny little virus has upset. And we see then the weakness in the systems. We see the weakness in what we've built. And Taurus, a sign of sustainable building, would be the best sign for us to see these things happen, to be able to shift and bring forth health of these systems, right? To restore health to these systems, or to discover new solutions, newfangled ways of doing the things, of solving the problems that we've always had, and or that we've created by entertaining these big systems. And, you know, there's a redefinition that's happening too with the energy of abundance and sufficiency, and trusting that whatever we need and when we need it, it will be there as if by magic. I mean, there's another component here that in our search for a real, practical, down-to-earth energy, we've missed the magic, and the magic needs to be restored. The connection to the mystical, to the spiritual, to the divine, and Uranus energy, Aquarian energy, and even Uranus in Taurus helps us to maybe see where we've become too inured in the physical, practical, down to earth, and lost that there's this other half that is also there for us to reach out and touch. And that is our divineness, right? And the co-creative power of our divine selves. So we have an opportunity to redefine everything about who we are right now. And in order to stabilize ourselves in this new earth, if you will, in this new reality, we are going to need to change the values, our values, in order to create that sustainable life, that sustainable world. And how do we create from this abundance instead of from lack? How do we, in some ways, level that playing field so that everybody gets to play and everybody gets to eat and everybody has what they need: affordable housing, affordable food, affordable clothing. And maybe we don't know this yet, right? We may not know this, but we have to be able to entertain maybe some new ways of thinking. And I guess my fear in us as human beings, although I'm sure I have no power here except what I do for myself, is that we want to go backwards. We want to try to recreate the past instead of realizing that we need to move forward. And in order to move forward, we have to change the paradigm that we're living in. And we have to learn to create from a place of sustainability and sufficiency and trust that it would be completely different than these masters of the universe who are amassing these billions of dollars for themselves. And then not, they're eating up the resources, They're claiming a hold on all of these resources while the rest of us are scrabbling just to barely survive. So we have to, we have to change these things. We have to become more creative. We have to become more all-encompassing and more compassionate and more human. We have to become more human and more humane in order to see the impact when we marginalize people, right? I think it's interesting that what we're not hearing in the news right now, at least for us in this country, is about a lot of shootings. Schools are all closed, so people can't go into those schools and just shoot them up, and or movie theaters and just shoot them up. So it's not that the problem disappeared. It's still there. It's just being kind of quieted at the moment. And the collective in this case is needing to be retooled and rekeyed and rebuilt so that we can move on to a time where everybody is embraced and all of humanity, even those marginalized beings or the people who feel marginalized out there, can feel included. So there's something different going on in the way that we organize ourselves as people, right? As loving, compassionate beings all together on this spaceship we call Mother Earth. And if we're all in this together, it's a different play than if we're stealing from one another, moving people out to the edges that we deem not good enough or different or too different or too way out there. So we're learning a lot of lessons through Uranus in Taurus right now. Businesses, I think the last big sporting event that we actually got to have was the Super Bowl. And I was really interested in the commercials about corporations who were talking about these big ideas. So these businesses that were focusing on the expanding well-being of their employees, of the benefits that they offer to employees, that the way these corporations entertain new ideas, they're at the leading edge of what could be a new economy, of what could be a new way of being with corporations. You know, rather than we think of these giant car corporations that are only interested in production, and, you know, buy up, use up, who cares how many miles per gallon the car gets, let's just use up, all of the resources. There are companies out there that have a new paradigm that is going on where they're building something like a team, right? They're looking at teamwork. They're looking at making a synarchy rather than a hierarchy. So there are some really good things going on out there in corporations and in these, you know, large businesses out there. What we see right now is this assault on the small businesses, and they've traditionally been the backbone of our country. So in some way, isn't that kind of a metaphor for what is happening in the bigger world, the bigger, wider world, as we're assaulting the smaller, weaker in favor of the bigger, stronger, right? The monopolies, the oligarchs, the plutocracy. And that none of that is in keeping with where we are going. So does the fall that we're taking get harder? Or do we wake up before we realize that we are one step off the cliff with the rocks crumbling under the foot that's left, and wake up and do something, right? So in this case, the planet Uranus is holding this open invitation. It's like hands out, right? Exploring our personal attachment to the material world, and to really come into an alignment with what our true authentic values are. And this is a shift, right? Because I would guarantee you that even in my own life, there's been a mixed message about what I value, in that the outer world projects sort of onto us what it is it thinks we should value. And that might be money, spending money, buy. It's all for me, right? A me kind of focus, self-centered, selfish, and that kind of tamping down anything that's of a new and a lasting variety. So again, you know, we're going to have to change who we are personally. So We can keep expecting to see these old structures crumble. The outdated systems that we've gotten in place with the economy and with the healthcare education system and economics, all of them being broken down. And the systems are broken. We know that. Is there anybody out there that thinks that the healthcare system isn't in trouble? Is there anybody out there who thinks that the education system doesn't need to be retooled and revamped? Because when we look at that, it's time, right? We have to revamp them. We have to be willing to revamp them. We have to be willing to redefine who we are, what we want, and then walk our talk. So that's what this Uranian energy is all about in Taurus. And I preface all of this because we're in the midst of a Uranus change that will occur by Friday. We are out of the gate 27, which has been a gate where we've been exploring the need for nurturing, right? The gate 27, it sits on the sacral center. Let me see if I can bring up, I don't think I saved it this morning. But the gate 27 sitting on the sacral, reaching out toward the spleen center, has been a center of, or has been a gate of nurturing. It is where we revitalize, or we set the tone for what the values of the tribe will be. It's very tribal energy, the gate 27. It leads over to the gate 50, which is the very feminine energy, right? This is the great feminine on this side of the chart. And the great feminine here is engaged in educating, in feeding, in clothing, in setting the laws and the rules and the values through which the tribe will thrive. And we've gotten away from that. And we are just barely hanging on in a survival mode. So when we let go of the divine feminine, or we relegated her to the dark or to the closet, we let go of that tribal energy, creating sustainability, creating the ability to educate our children and to define what the values would be of the tribe. And now we are no longer, or we haven't been up until this point, walking our talk, right? In this country, for example, if we're all about human rights, well, what are those? What do you mean by that? Isn't it a basic human right to be able to eat? And how many children out there go to bed every night hungry through no fault of their own? And how many of their parents are feeling so debilitated and beat up by the system that they don't even know where to turn anymore for help, or how to reach themselves up out of the quagmire that they found themselves in? And of course, all of this does go back to choices, right? The choices that we make as individuals. But we have to be more compassionate than that. We have to find that nurturing center. And Uranus has been sitting there off and on for the last couple of years. And now it is moving out of that gate to one of the mind gates. So we're moving out of the sacral center, the organizing principle of our values, up into the head center, the ajna. Actually, it's right here on the ajna, moving up toward the head center. And the gate 24 is a gate that we just saw the sun being sat at, and where we talked about the lowest energy of it, which was addiction, right? Addiction. It is the rationalization of the way things are. Like, we rationalize why things are the way they are, why we don't have the power to change our thinking or changing the world. And we're going to have to learn to do better than that. Right? We're going to have a lot of focus on changing our minds. I think what's going to happen is we're going to find from now until November, at least of this year, at the gate, because, you know, Uranus also turns retrograde. So we're going to be at this gate until November of this year. And then it's going to backtrack into the gate 27 again. We're going to have this opportunity to change our thinking, to change our minds, to be more open-minded, i.e. open-hearted. And then we'll see how that plays out back up in November when Uranus again returns to the gate 27 of nurturing, and see what kind of nurturing we're engaged in at that point in time. So changing our minds to change our hearts, right? The change, I don't know that we need to change our hearts. I think we're just needing to let go of our minds in order to align with our hearts. And that's likely the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves at this moment in time. All right, I'm sure I've triggered a lot of people this morning. Let's see what it is that we can think about here. Good morning, Jacqueline Ebanks. Exactly, I am reinventing myself. I am looking to do what I needed to do 20 years ago. And let me just say something here. And I applaud that in the highest, Jacqueline. I think that's perfect. But I don't want us all beating ourselves up for what we didn't do 20 years ago, right? Because that's, we often do that. We're like, oh man, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Things would be so different, blah, blah, blah. But again, everything happens in divine right timing. And if it wasn't possible, if it was possible back then, it would have happened back then. But it's not, it didn't. So now here we are. It's in this moment that these things become possible, Jacqueline. So I applaud you for moving forward with the opening that's being created for us right now. Deborah Johnson, simplify your life. Indeed, isn't that the truth? I find myself sitting here each day going, well, now what do I want to do? And I'm seamlessly moving from one thing to another, from an art project to writing this book to doing this or doing that. Things that before I would have been, nope, I have to sit at my desk and tell, you know, I'm getting done with this project or doing this. It's so different right now how we can just let ourselves move through these things. Angela, you were in my dreams last night. Janet teaching me about how the number 11 and also 21 was applying to myself and my life. Don't remember what you said, but seemed very aligned in the dream. Number 11, all about illumination, right? The light, letting your DNA become the transducer of light. That's the gene keys way, right? To bring in and just open up and allow that illumination, that cosmic light to move through your entire body and change our DNA at the very lowest level, the very inwardest level. And then the 21 is a very creative energy. That's the number of 3 and 2 and 1 creating. I'm not sure what that would mean or what I would teach you about that. But anyway, that's awesome, Angela. Thank you for sharing. Justice for all, assault on essential workers, nurses, teachers, and law enforcement. Yes. What is that all about? Right? You know, I think I did say this before. It's interesting how much we pay football players and basketball players and doctors and lawyers and corporate bigwigs, and how little that we pay the people who are the underpinnings for all of that, that supports our very community. So it's insanity, right? It shows upside down values that a football player should be receiving millions of dollars a year, right? Over the course of their contract, it can turn out, you know, to be that they're multi-millionaires. When the very doctors, nurses, and like you said, the police officers, the teachers, the essential workers, the people that do the work of keeping our grocery stores shelves stocked, of keeping the meat flowing, of keeping the vegetables, you know, picked and ready for market, are being walked upon. It's just insanity. It's insanity. So we need to learn to value things in a different way, let's say, right? Why do I value, and I love football, don't get me wrong. You all know I am a total fan of the Seahawks. I love me some Russell Wilson, but really, we're going to pay him, what is it, $16 million? Well, the people who write, and not that they don't deserve it. It's not about who deserves it. It's about, let's get a little bit more even in the way that we support everybody on the planet to doing what they love to do, right? And to make that change, it's going to have to come from within us. We're going to have to change a paradigm from within. All right. So thank you, Justice, for saying that. Mimi, much will change the challenges to some extent that we in the USA are both awaiting and working to see where election will land us, a pivotal point. And I get that. I do get that, Mimi, and I feel like I'm sort of holding my breath too, but can we afford to do that? To let all of that, the stuff that's being crumbled right now, continue to be crumbled? I don't know. And maybe it is what our path is, but I think we have to start thinking, perhaps, maybe that's what we can do right now, is to start thinking about opening our hearts, redefining what's important to us as individuals and what kind of things that we want in our world. And I'm going to give you a great example. Many times in our lives, you've probably done it, I know I've done it, that we go out to find a job because we need to work, right? We need to feed ourselves, and we feed ourselves by buying groceries, right? So we have to work to earn the money to buy the groceries. And we go out, we find a job, and that employer dictates to us how many hours we're going to work and what kind of pay we're going to receive, what kind of benefits they have to offer. And almost without exception, we have all just gone on like an automaton and said, okay, great. Thankful that we had a job and willing to work those hard hours, willing to suffer through that work with minimal pay. You know, they're only going to pay you the minimum that they can get away with, whether that is based on a federal number, a state dollar amount, and a minimum, you know, based on what they value your worth at, not what you value your worth at. And then the benefits, of course, that they're willing to let go of and how much you're going to pay for those benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's something fundamentally wrong here, but it's the way the world has worked. And the other day I witnessed my son-in-law, who, as you know, he lost his job right at the beginning of the pandemic when they eliminated his position, his department. And so he's been waiting to find another job, and he found one, and it was perfect, except they wanted him to work 50 hours a week and on a salary. And that salary worked out to be $10 less an hour than what he was making, and with benefits that weren't even nearly as good as he was making. Now, it's a different industry, so I get that. And he was feeling caught up in the need to find work to support his family. And he ended up getting the job. And then as he found himself over the weekend after having been offered the job, he was thinking, he was in anxiety. He was literally freaking out about having this job because of the demand on the number of hours they wanted from him, the less amount of pay for more work that they were demanding of him, and the lowered benefits. And the more that he worked through this, the less he was willing to do that. Now, you might all be thinking, some of you that are older out there, those damn millennials, because that's what they want. They think it should all be handed to them. It's not about that. It's not about that for the millennials. It's about the value of the work they do and their need to be able to be shown that value and not live by the old values of produce, 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 right? The more hours you work, the more widgets you make, the more money you make me as a corporation, the more you're worth and your value to me. And so he went back to them and he said, that doesn't work for me. And he entered into a negotiation on, to the credit of the company involved, they were willing to negotiate. So he found himself in a position of making more money, being able to work fewer hours, and the benefits package he couldn't do much with, but it's offset by my daughter's benefits. So that it ended up working out. So it's a new world. If you choose to grab it and live by your values, he was very willing to say, if they're not willing to meet me, then I'm not going to take this job. I will wait for the next best thing. That's something new, right? That's fairly new on the planet, where your everyday working person can say, I'm going to wait, right? Because this doesn't fulfill my needs. This doesn't align with my values. It's going to be when we have the guts and the courage to say that, to do that, that corporations will begin to change, because they're going to see that they're going to need to rise to what the working person wants and desires, as opposed to just doing what's purely good for them in terms of profits and their board you know, so it's a different world. J-Lo, so curious. Gate 24 is completed with today. Design, just checked it. Cool. So curious with it all. Keep exploring, right? Keep exploring. I can tell you till I am blue in the face what Gate 24 means and how that connects up. But until you actually, and I know you're having a reading, so we'll get to explore this, but you also have to look at what is its meaning in your life, because your experience of it is going to be different than my experience of it. It's my moon that sits at the gate 24. And that's a driving force for me. But what planet is it that sits there for you? Is it only temporary? Is it just a transit? And all of these things will make the experience for each one of you different than what the typical explanation of the gate or the transit is all about. Tanya Middleton, good morning. Someone new. It's great to see you. J-Lo says, maybe you can check in the gene keys. Angela, definitely. Kamal, good morning to you. Let me see if I missed anybody else's comments. I think I'm good. So J-Lo says, I was looking into this last night and stumbled upon some banking. It was the second bank made in the backed by the Federal Reserve, and some history into it, but I skimmed and got out of the rabbit hole. That definitely, there's this rabbit hole that you can go into, and it's not where we want to be. So yeah, we know about the rabbit hole. We know what's in that rabbit hole. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole because it's counterproductive. What we need to do is change what's in the hole, right? Change the hole. Anyway, thank you, Colleen. That's great. I think companies are going to try to take advantage across the board in terms of pay, hours, et cetera. Indeed, but we do not have to let them. Imagine this. Imagine a corporation who can't get people to take the job. They would rather live by their values than take a job because it's there and being offered to them. It would change the paradigm, right? When corporations can't get people to take on their minuscule money, their minuscule hours, their you know, profound number of hours they want you to work, things will change. But again, that takes courage on everybody's part, right? Because we're so in fear that we're not going to have enough, right? We're so in fear that we're not going to have that paycheck, and that we're not going to be able to feed ourselves, that we go into survival mode, and then we accept whatever paltry givings that corporations want to offer us. We're going to have to be better than that, right? Okay. So great, great comments. I love it. Thank you so much. Now let's go on. I thought I had nothing to talk about today. So there's another thing I want to talk about in terms of completions. And that is that Venus today moved, well, early in the morning for those of you on the East Coast, very late last night for us on the West Coast, moved into retrograde stage. And that means she, from our appearance here on the Earth, appears to be falling closer and closer to the sun. She is going to be disappearing from our sight every day from now till the next 15 days as she's in the completion of her cycle. She's falling closer and closer to the sun. She kind of disappears into the glare. It's not that she falls into the sun. It's that we can't see her any longer from our perspective here because of the glare of the sun. And this represents a very interesting time for those of you who might have been born during this time. If Venus was in this cycle when you were born, then this was your destiny, right? To be a part of this awakening, if you will, this maturing of the divine feminine. For all of us as a collective who are just experiencing these 15 days right now, this is our message in Gemini, right? Venus in Gemini, message of love, a message of balance, of beauty, of harmony, of creating a new world, of creating aligned with values, right? Aligned with our values. But this is a completion phase. It may just be the symbolic maybe ending of the patriarchy, or the symbolic ending of the dissing of the divine feminine. I'm not sure, right? That again, you know, because we have a Venus retrograde about every 20 months. And so it's not like we haven't had this before, but I think there's something very profound in it happening right now as we are in this big process of realigning our values. So we have this 15-day cycle right now of completion, bringing the old to a close and sort of maturing or building up the new and aligning that with what is our value, what do we value, and what is important to us, what is important to us as human beings. Not just if you could have anything and be anything, do anything that was aligned with your values, what would that be? What would that look like? Who would you be hanging out with, if you will? What would you demand? What would you command to be yours, right? To be ours. It could be really enlightening, I think, for us to go through that process, to really look now at what are we willing to close out of in order to move on. And remember, Venus retrograde in Gemini is about new ideas, about following that curiosity into new territory, into new ideas, into new ways of doing things, finding new solutions. So we have a lot of support if we can change our minds, if we can change our thinking, if we can change our beliefs and the patterns, if we can let go of the old, if we can bring it to completion and embrace what's new, woo, we have an opportunity like none other. Now, also today in our Pleiadian Earth energy, we've come to completion. We've come to the day 13, which is the number of completion and preparation for ascension. It is our time today universally to fully integrate everything that we've learned over the previous 12 days, 13 days, and prepare to return to source for our marching orders, for our direction of what comes next, right? To seek those answers to those questions. So we are in fully integration mode. We are in going into the void, going into the dark, going into the quiet, going into the silence, even going into that melancholy or that depression you might be feeling, to seek direction, to seek new answers, and honoring the number of 13, right? Number 13 has been dissed ever since the divine masculine took over from the divine feminine. And that number has come to be related to something occultish or superstitious or evil even. So we have to bring this back. We have to come back and we have to honor this great number 13 that reconnects us to the idea of natural cycles, natural time, and the natural world, right? The natural world. In the natural world, we have 13 moons in any given year. And then the cycle begins again, right? 13 moons. This is the 13 is the great fulfillment of the creative impulse. And that creative impulse began 13 days ago at one loving, right? Remember, loving was our entry point into this week or this spiral of consciousness. And that loving energy is about the challenges that we face, the irritations, the things that happen that test us to see how much more love we can apply to any situation. How much trust do we have in a benevolent universe? Or do we go into trauma, drama, crazy kind of control issues around what it is that we perceive that is a challenge to us or an obstacle? So we've been learning to apply loving energy to all the things that pop up in our world that seek to challenge us in some way. And here we come then. Today's earth energy is enlightening. It is a how in the Mayan calendar. It is the 20th day sign. It is the 20th earth sign. And the 20th is the final sign before we start tomorrow with new at one being, right? We take and we go into a new energy tomorrow. Is it one being? I just totally lost my train of thought here. Yes, it is one being, right? So we start anew. And that energy tomorrow is about the new. So today is all about the completion, the endings, the bringing things to a close. Enlightening energy is about our achieving the ability to see from multiple perspectives. Ahau was the sign of the king, right? Enlightening was the sign of royalty. It was the sign of source or of God or the priest or priestess that brought us to the capital T truth, right? Who was like the all-seeing eye, who knew the bigger truths, and that you are also a part of that bigger truth. You are also, that truth is also accessible to you. So if we can see from multiple perspectives, then we can see the true social progress. If we can heal that polarity, that old duality, right, where we were either in the masculine or in the feminine, but we hadn't brought them together into this balance and this harmony. So we have to let go of that dualistic thinking and integrate higher truths. So today's completion is all about that. Take that into the void and seek the answers about how you are living polarity in your own life and how can you bring that into unity. Because that is what today's energy is all about. All right. So I think that brings me to the end today. Let me take one last look back here. J-Lo, so weird. I used to complain because when my kid's father would be without work, I would complain, tell him, just get anything. You're a parent. He never gave in and always expected the best work. Good for him. He was ahead of his time, right? But I get your point of view too. You're the mother. Right? You're the one that has to make sure that your kids are fed and clothed and educated. So I get that. But we have to learn a different reality here, create a different reality. Colleen says, we don't have to let them. It's why I started walking dogs, paid better and worked better for me. Indeed. Ursula, Mary Magdalene is the 13th apostle. I believe you. I totally believe that. And Marissa, I had work issues, so I will need to listen to the recording later. If I have questions, would an email or Facebook be the best way to reach me? A likely email. If that pops up on my phone, Facebook, I almost avoid like the plague if I can help it, because there's so much BS that people are spewing on Facebook these days. So I try to stay away from it. You're welcome, Deborah. Amy, don't forget to thumbs up, everybody. Please, everybody listening to the video, you see the little hand down here, the thumbs up. Please, if you enjoyed what we were talking about today, give this video a thumbs up. Share this video with your friends. Share Living Astrology with your friends. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. I'm more than halfway through the watch hours. I am only a third of the way, almost to a fourth of the way. I mean, almost, let's see, I'm at 300 and some, 350, I think it is, and I need 1,000 listeners or subscribers. So please, if you feel so moved, hit the thumbs up and subscribe and share with your friends. All right. Thank you, Amy. I love you. I love all of you. Everybody have a wonderful day. Take care. Love one another. I will see you tomorrow morning. All right, take care now.